Welcome to the Naughty Child Podcast with me, Richard.
And me, Polly.
I'm the dad.
And I'm the daughter.
I'll do everything before I leave. I need to find that bag on my quest.
Alex Hartley took us off air in Brighton earlier this year.
I'm a huge fan of Pepper.
We thought we were really funny.
Bobby, I'm doing a podcast, man. Come on.
Well, my dog is now called Jimmy Anderson.
Manchester Originals aren't through to the Eliminators, so I've got change last day.
Do you cook French food? Like, do you cook frog legs and snails?
Just lock myself in a procedure room.
Sophie Eccleston's the worst, like having a child with you when she's on tour.
I don't know whether it shows something about me or whether it just shows I'm a little bit stupid.
Well, Polly, here we are again. And it's the eve of another World Cup.
I know. I'm a bit tired for another World Cup.
Well, I don't feel psychologically ready for it because I don't feel I'm over the last one yet.
I know. I don't know. I need a bit more of a break.
But I think once it gets going,
then you'll really enjoy it and you'll like
it. We'll get into it. But I just don't quite believe it's happening yet.
I know. I also would rather be in South Africa.
South Africa sounds really good.
Yeah. So I've had an awful week as well, so I'm just like, all I want to do is go to South Africa.
Oh no, what's gone wrong this week?
Nothing. No, everything's gone wrong. You know, when you just have those rubbish weeks?
I do.
Yeah, just one of those, but
I do.
And there hasn't really been very much cricket either. So it's not like there's been stuff to distract me. Like, there's been warm-up games, but you can't watch them, so.
Yes, you just kind of find out.
Yeah, through the grapevine. Mm. So, yeah. Anyway, we have a lot to talk about today.
We do, yes. Even though there's not been many international games, there's lots of stuff going on in the background.
Should we start with Women's Premier League?
Women's Premier League, yes.
So the shortlist was announced. So it was 1,525 people registered. Okay. Gutted to announce I wasn't shortlisted.
No way.
To the 409 people. So out of those 409 people, 246 are Indian internationals or domestic players.
Mm-hmm.
I believe all of the under-19 World Cup team have been shortlisted.
From India?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's 163 overseas, including 8 associate players. However, there are only 90 slots, so over 3/4 of them will be eliminated. I won't get a spot.
Okay, and presumably there's a proportion of players in each team who have to be Indian.
Yeah.
And a proportion who are allowed to be international players, and then a proportion.
There's one associate.
Okay.
So I can't remember all the marquee player rules and everything like that, but anyway, a lot of people won't get a shot.
Yes.
But it was interesting to see who's gone forward for it. Perhaps more people, more English domestic players registered and haven't been shortlisted. But the only non-England contracted player or someone who hasn't ever played for England, the senior team, is Grace Scrivens, who's entered. A couple of people like Maddie Villiers, Lindsay Smith, Alex Hartley, Kirsty Gordon, possibly, have all been shortlisted. Obviously they have caps for England, but aren't currently contracted. In terms of who else, any significant people, among the associate players, a lot fewer than I expected, to be fair. I thought there would be more.
I'm really surprised not to see any Scotland players in there, because I think out of all the associate nations, they're one of the strongest.
You think about the Bryces and Abtomaxud, surely. I would imagine they would have entered, but I don't know.
You know, with lots of experience of playing franchise cricket in the 100. And then you've got other regional players within England who've got experience of the 100 and of the WBBL, who haven't made the cut either. So I'm thinking of people like Eve Jones, who I'd have thought would have got to this stage, but then we don't know who originally went down.
Yeah, because some people haven't announced if they entered. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see. In terms of regional players, we've got Stair Callis, associate player, of course.
I mean, I think she's nailed on.
She's got a really good chance because out of the associate players, she's one of the strongest.
Yeah.
I think there are four players from UAE. She's the only Dutch player. There was a Zimbabwe, I think maybe two Zimbabwe players. Mm-hmm. I can't quite remember the other ones. But and then Mahika Gore, who plays for the academy for Thunder,
mm-hmm.
who's also UAE under 19 as well. She's entered. And then there was another player, I'm sure, regional.
You see, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me that mm-hmm. someone who's an academy player for mm-hmm. Thunder can get in as an associate player, mm-hmm. whereas you've got Scottish associate players who are playing. Yeah. The Bryce sisters are the stars in the side that they're playing regionally, but don't get in. It doesn't quite add up.
I mean, I would be really interested to know how it's all been decided.
What are the criteria?
Because I think at this point, you can't pick based on someone's playing style or if they're a bowler, batter, that sort of thing, because it's just a massive draft of, well, for example, this is 400 people. So presumably they're going off stats or credentials if they have international caps. But I don't know. I would be interested to know how it's been picked. But yeah. Anyway, the auction's on Monday. I've no idea if it's, I presume it's going to be streamed. I don't really know how these things work.
I don't know how auctions work at all.
No, I've seen the men's IPL a little bit.
I've never watched that. So it's all a little bit of a mystery to me.
But I think it's going to be one of those where it's just like drip fed news all mm-hmm. the way through, which is sometimes a little bit difficult to follow. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, we also have John Lewis.
Okay.
John Lewis. So I saw today, I got very confused. John Lewis has been appointed the head coach of Trent Rockets.
Wow, he's going to be a busy man.
He's going to be busy. Then realised it's the other John Lewis.
Oh.
Because, of course, there are two John Lewis's.
Well, three, really.
If you think about the department store as well. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't exist in Birmingham anymore, so.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
they shut it down, didn't they?
They built the entire Grand Central around that, and then it went.
What's there instead now?
Nothing.
Just empty space.
Yeah, it's just boarded up.
Okay. So if anyone wants to to rent out.
Maybe several... John Lewis could, I mean, I don't know how much.
He build a cricket centre there.
I was thinking the John Lewis, because then they don't have to get rid of any brand. Just take the H out. John Lewis.
Yeah. And then, the players could go just straight to mm-hmm. New Street Station from where they are in the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just get the lift up there and go in. They've got the cricket centre up there.
Because Birmingham's such a central place as well. And all the trains go there. And there's the bowl now. Have you seen that?
No.
You know the big ball from the Commonwealth Games?
The mechanical
ball. Everyone was talking about, all the cricketers got hyped about it. Mm. That's now apparently New Street. So you're going to arrive at New Street, you're going to get jump scared by the ball. Probably it's going to be breathing fire or something. And then you go up in the lift, you've got the cricket centre, John Lewis Cricket Centre. And maybe you could collab with Basball. So it's John Lewis Basball. It's giving me great business plan.
I like it. Yeah, put a plan together.
Yeah.
Send it to the ECB.
Yeah.
See what they say.
Anyway, we're not talking about that, John Lewis.
Okay.
We're talking about the John Lewis who was not successful in applying for the England job. He's got the Trent Rockets job now.
Right.
It raised a conversation because then you were asking me about, is Charlotte Edwards the only female 100 coach? And I think she might be.
Which I just think is surprising.
Mm.
But then I'm struggling to come up with other names of people who could be doing it.
So I suppose the only other people I know that are heavily involved, obviously Danny Hazel is the head coach at Northern Diamonds,
mm-hmm.
and Laura Marsh is now assistant coach at Blaze. And she was head coach, I think.
She was at Sunrisers, yeah.
Yeah, she interim. Mm-hmm. She kind of stepped up to that, and I think was assistant coach out in South Africa for the under-19s.
Yes, that's true.
So she has a bit of experience. But yeah, other than that, there aren't many female coaches. And I was speaking on a podcast a couple of weeks ago about the same in football in the WSL, because there used to be quite a few, and now there are three or four out of 12 teams.
Wasn't Lydia Greenway meant to be?
She was meant to do Oval Invincibles for the first year, like when before COVID and everything, and then that got kind of slightly disbanded. I mean, she's doing commentary and stuff now, but it's an interesting question because there are a lot of grassroots women's coaches, well, quite a few anyway, and it's like, are they given the opportunities to come through the system? And I think it's good having former players, and perhaps I think perhaps with professionalism we'll see that a bit more of players.
Yeah.
I suppose like Anya Shrubsole doing a player coach role, and then she may end up when she retires from cricket going into a coaching role, because before people would have had other jobs alongside cricket, so it's like when they retire they just focus on whatever the job rather than going into coaching. So yeah, I don't know, it's an interesting one. I think we'll see it possibly change. But of course Charlotte Edwards has been named coach of
Mumbai Indians.
Well, yeah, one of the Premier League teams.
Yes. Not a big surprise really. No. I think if you're looking for a coach with experience of franchise cricket and a successful coach, she's the obvious one to choose. Yeah,
and Geelong Goswami is their mentor. It's just like, that's a bit of a dream team. So it'd be interesting to see what other coaches get announced and if any other English coaches get called up for that.
Yes, yes. Again, I don't know. And whether female coaches, you know, Lisa Kightley.
Well, I saw something. She's now, she was doing the South African T20.
Okay.
Like the men's league there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. The only thing that's interesting about that is, of course, Charlotte Edwards is still the regional coach at Vipers. So she'll go off for a couple of weeks to do the Premier League. But, I mean, she clearly has a good
annual
set of... we need to kind of talk a bit about T20 World Cup and some of the warm-up games.
Yes, I mean, the big headline, of course, is Ireland beating Australia, which is amazing and brilliant, but I don't think we should read too much into it.
I think the thing with warm-ups is, like, anything kind of happens. We've seen with the pitches as well. It's been a bit questionable. The only thing I would say from the Ireland game is, this is maybe a bit critical, but if Australia are the best team in the world, they should be able to win from anywhere. And you think about the fact that Ireland were able to get that win. It was a close game. Regardless of the fact that Australian batters retired, injured, whatever, their bowling attack should be able to defend that. Like, I just think if you're the best team in the world, you should be able to kind of come from nowhere. And Australia normally do that.
Maybe that was their strategy, is like, let's make it uncomfortable for ourselves.
Yeah.
I think the thing to take from that game is that Ireland are a team to watch, and England need to watch out because Ireland are a potential banana skin, is what I called them yesterday.
Yeah, and I didn't understand what you meant. No, like, I think I kind of got it, but I was just like, what do you mean Ireland are a banana skin? I was like, okay.
And, you know, let's not forget, this time last year in the ODI World Cup, England lost their first three games. We lost to Australia. Then we lost to South Africa.
I blocked that out.
Then we lost to West Indies. And we've got West Indies in the first game and Ireland in the second game.
Yeah.
Now, this time we've only got four games.
Yeah.
It's a group of five. So really, you can afford to lose one. But if you lose any more than that, you're in big trouble, I would suggest. So, yeah, England need to start really strongly, I think, against West Indies and Ireland and win those two games convincingly. But they're both losable games. I know we went to the West Indies and it would appear that they're not as strong as they were when they beat England.
Yeah.
But, you know, if Hayley Matthews puts her strong innings together, that could be the difference.
Stefani Taylor's back as well. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And I mean, Ireland have quality players, and Amy Hunter is seemingly fully fit, recovered from her femoral finger injury in the Under-19 World Cup. So that's very, very good for
Ireland. And West Indies bowlers had no problem bowling us all out in our
tour. That is a very, very good point. That's something I think I said after the tour. It's like, that's a concern because England have struggled with poor batting. Like, their bowling's been quite good, but it's been the batting. So,
and this, I suppose what we saw in the under 19 World Cup is this brand of aggressive cricket coming from the Bazball philosophy, which is seems to be now an ECB. This is what we do, and which I think is excellent. I think it's really, really good, but you've got to have the skills to execute it. And it's actually really difficult, and it's and it's high risk because against a team like West Indies, we could get skittled. And then suddenly, you know, if you lose that first game, that the pressure is really, really on.
That's the thing. And I think if you when you play against teams like West Indies and Ireland, I think you have to play a lot more conservatively and a lot safer because they're
what
the
ones... brave cricket?
Oh, I don't believe in that because I try that, it doesn't work. but I think, you know, say you're coming up against India, the odds are kind of 50-50 if you're going to win. So if you go out there and play aggressive cricket or whatever, then, you know, if it doesn't pay off, you know that you've done that really well. But actually, against Ireland, the odds are in your favour. So you can play, you know, a lot safer and you might win. But if you go out there and just try and whack it and then, yeah, you get skittled, then it's a bit, it's not great.
I think what came across in the under 19 World Cup is that we didn't really have a plan B. That plan A was whack it. And what we needed at some point is like, well, if we've lost three wickets in the power play,
how are you going to play?
Are we going to carry on trying to whack it?
Yeah.
Or are we going to be a bit smarter than that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that there needs to be a slightly more flexible approach. I don't know. But then, you know, if we buzzball it all the way to the final of the World Cup, brilliant. I mean, that's, that's amazing.
Yeah. Either way, I just want to win. That would be nice. The last thing I want to quickly touch on, obviously many people know that I'm involved with Her Game 2.
Explain to us what Her Game 2 is.
So it's group organisation campaign thing. And it's all about kind of eliminating sexism within cricket, getting girls participating in cricket. It, you know, focuses on international cricket all the way down to grassroots. Anyway, for International Women's Day, they are doing kind of a bit of a campaign where they want people to nominate anyone from any part of cricket. So it could be the scorer of your fifth village team. It could be Heather Knight. But they want women involved in cricket in any sort of capacity to be nominated and to kind of have their story told. So there'll be links on our social media. You can look at Her Game 2 social media because there are links. It's just like a Google form sort of thing to fill out with a bit of information about them, and that'll be happening in March around International Women's Day.
Great. I think I want to nominate you, Polly.
Why?
I think you're inspirational.
Oh, stop it. Well, it was so embarrassing. I did this interview thing and I haven't really said anything about it. But all my friends commented, like, sarcastic comments, but, wow, what an inspiration. And I think the person who did the interview thought this was all really serious. And I was just...
I think it is serious.
No, they were... one of my friends commented, hats off to you, and put the hat emoji. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. It was so embarrassing. But, please don't nominate me. Thanks. I would say nominate you.
Did you hear that, listeners? Polly doesn't want you to nominate her.
I was going to say I'll nominate you, but you're not an inspirational woman in cricket. So,
no.
Unfortunately. Anyway, shall we introduce our guest?
Yes, Madison.
Madison Landsman, who took the first hat trick of the Under-19 World Cup.
She did. I mean, she was one of the star players of the entire tournament, wasn't she? In fact, on the ICC website, they had, I think, six players you could vote for as player of the tournament, and she was on that list.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So much potential for the future. What a great tournament. What a great impact that she had. And she's, you know, she's an all-rounder, isn't she, as well? So she's in the side as a, well, as a really good batter who can turn her arm over and bowl some pretty good leg spin as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, she took hat tricks, so she must be doing something right. But yeah, it was great to chat to Maddie. It was quite soon after the World... In fact, it was just after England's semi-final. That's what we start with, because we are just like, what on earth has happened? So we do talk about a little bit about that. So that's a bit of a throwback.
Yes, you can place us historically as to exactly where we are on the timeline of the World Cup.
But enjoy our chat with Madison Landsman.
Hello there, Madison. Can you hear us okay?
Hello. Yeah, I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're great. No, neither of us can really talk at the moment because we're still kind of shaking and shivering with fear after watching the game this afternoon.
Oh, my goodness. There was a crazy game this afternoon.
It was, yeah, it's a tough one as an England fan to watch England in those sort of moments, especially against Australia, just because of the rivalry.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ooh, but to come out on top.
Read a siren. Oh,
just so good. Just so good. And as England as England fans, it just makes us think of all those years ahead when those players are going to be playing against each other in the Ashes. And we've got one over on them straight away, right from the start. I just think it's a good sign. It's a good sign.
Oh, lovely. It started with me just playing cricket with my dad in the back garden. And just messing around, and I didn't have any thought about it and stuff. And then one day, one of his friends came over just like to have a chat, and he came to say that he was coming to coach at our at my primary school. And then he said, like, why not give it a try and whatever. And I, at that time, was bowling with a tennis ball. I was throwing, I wasn't bowling. I was halfway down the pitch still. I didn't know, you know, I was just doing whatever. And he was like, yeah, it starts tomorrow, so you can come. So I had to learn in that day, you know, just how to bowl a pitch length, and then went to trials, enjoyed it, made the team, and then just carried on from there, you know.
So about what age were you then?
I was 11 at that time.
Actually, it wasn't not that long ago, really.
It wasn't that long ago, no.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. So did you have any kind of role models within cricket growing up?
Yeah, for me, it was from... way in the beginning, it was AB de Villiers. He's always been my biggest role model. And I think he's always going to be. I don't think there's anyone who's like him, you know, ever will be. So, yeah, he's always been my biggest one.
Fantastic. Well, now, of course, Under-19 World Cup, it's been an amazing experience. And I want to just say congratulations to South Africa on putting on such an amazing tournament. We have loved it from, I say, start to finish, from start until this point. It's been great. So how did you find out that you'd been selected?
So thank you. That's very nice. Yes. With us, obviously we have grade 12 is your matric year. So then I just finished matric, and then we go on matric holiday straight after. And I was with my friends in a hotel room. we were about, and I put the Zoom meeting on quickly, and then the road was going mad. So yeah, I was in Durban at the time on holiday, and then with my buddies in a hotel room, and then obviously the announcement came.
And so how did you feel when you got the news? Were you expecting it, or was it a bit of a surprise?
Yeah, we started early last year. I think it was February, around there, where there was like 56 of us. We played against each other at national weeks and for provincial cricket and all that. And then throughout the year they would cut us down. We went from 56 to 24, and then we went from 20 to 18. We had little camps along the way, like we would have half-veld camps as the smaller ones, you know, because obviously everyone's quite scattered across the country. And then yeah, we got cut down to 18, and we had series against Namibia and Zimbabwe. And then we also played against a mix of senior women's players. And then, then it was just the India series and then straight into the World Cup.
Wow. Wow. And what a start to the World Cup it was for you. Because we didn't really know a lot about all the players taking part. But then early on in the tournament, there was this amazing bowler who came on and took a hat trick.
No, thanks. There's a bit of, I don't know, the hat trick was just, coach came on because we had the mid-innings break at the 10-over mark. And Coach D came on, she was like, Maddie, you're bowling four overs, doesn't matter what happens, you're bowling four on the trot. We're going to see what goes. I don't know, it happened. And it was crazy. The whole thing was mad.
Because you're not really a bowler, are you?
No, I am a bowler. I've been a leggy for a while, but I've got a bit of a shoulder injury.
Okay.
That's made bowling a bit difficult. So it hasn't been my primary skill. I definitely enjoy batting a lot more. But yeah.
So I can imagine in your team, there are some pretty serious bowlers who take their bowling very, very seriously, who've never taken an international hat trick.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably going to struggle with the fact that you just turn up and take one.
No, shame. Yeah, the bowlers on our team are crazy. They definitely don't need a hat trick, you know, to prove the quality that they've got. I love our bowlers were amazing. And the best part was that we got to face them in the nets to prepare us for the other countries that we were going to play against.
And one thing I loved about the Under-19 World Cup is the fact that all the teams had mentors of people that have previously played cricket or who work in cricket. And obviously yours was Mignon Dupre. What was it like kind of being alongside her and learning from her? Because she's just full of expertise.
It was very nice. We obviously were able to ask her a lot of questions, and she was very kind in a way that she's very open, you know, to just talk and to just have a chat if you want to. And that, so yeah, it was very cool having someone like her around. I mean, with years of international experience, and she's literally a legend of the game. So it was a good privilege.
She is a legend, and she's been on our podcast as well. She's a friend of our podcast, so we are big fans of Mignon here. And I want to ask you about one particular player who stood out within the South African team, and that's your wicket keeper, Karabo, because everyone seems to be talking about her. That she's kind of part wicketkeeper, part commentator, and that she's, I think the term is she's quite chirpy behind the stumps.
Yeah. So KB, I love KB Timbers. She's brilliant with bats, with the gloves behind the stumps, and like you said, with the chirps. She's just got such an awesome personality, and I think she's one of the best wicketkeepers in the country by miles, you know? And she's young, so I think she's... Yeah, she's just brilliant, and she's an even better person as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, she's so young. I think she could play in the next Under-19 World Cup and possibly the one after that as well. I mean, just amazing to be so talented so young, isn't it?
No, that's crazy. She's brilliant, yeah.
And what was it like to host it? Because obviously all these countries are coming from all over the world, and this is kind of on your doorstep. And I could be wrong, but did I see some of your schoolmates coming down to watch it? That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I think having us host it was just, you know, added to how much of an awesome experience it was. For me, I've played provincial cricket at Easton's my whole life till recently. So Willowmore Park has been my home ground since I started playing provincial when I was 14. So that was just amazing. And then I was fortunate enough to have like my school teams come down, and they were super supportive. Also, my club, Benoni Northerns, they came down and they took up half the grass embankment, which was awesome. And it's just the atmosphere of a home crowd. It's just amazing. And throughout all the games, we had such awesome support from all different people, you know, just coming down to show their support. So it was great.
Oh, it sounds amazing. And did you get to mix with the other teams much? Did you get to sort of chat and get to know the other players either after games or in between games? Was everyone staying in the same place, or were you all sort of scattered around different places?
Not really. Some of the girls did mix with some teams, but I think it was half and half. So two groups were staying in, we started staying in Pretoria. I think there were two groups for the World Cup, the first, you know, in the beginning, the group stages. Mm-hmm. And then the other two were in Poch. But everyone, it was either training games or recovery sessions, and then there were meetings and things. So we bump into each other and stuff in the hallways and that, which is nice. So yeah.
And what was the best game that you played in? What was the one that kind of stands out in your memory?
For me, a standout was the Bangladesh game. Now that we played our first Super 6 game, that for me personally, it was the only game that we chased in the World Cup. And also we were in a really hectic position with the bat. The bowling was just great. You know, fielding and bowling, we were on it the whole way. We played them in the warm-ups and we lost to them in the warm-ups. So we sort of knew, you know, this is a really big game coming up, and, you know, we wanted to literally just give it everything. And we started out really well with the ball. You know, we limited them a lot. And then with the batting, we were up against the wall for a bit. And then, yeah, like you guys said, with Karabo, her and I, we were able to, you know, bat together. I love batting with KB, so she made it even better. So for me, that was my favorite one. It was a real challenge, but it was a lot of fun.
What do you think some of the biggest things that your team have learned from the Under-19 World Cup?
We were on tour for so long. So we learned so much. Our management team that we were with Coach Denisha and all that, they taught us so much from the beginning. You know, we had WSL before we went, which was in Cape Town. And then we had the India series leading up to the World Cup. And we had so many meetings and chats and things, and, you know, just going over game plans and the mental side and, you know, how to simplify our games. You know, because I think we all get so caught up in like overthinking and thinking too much, and you're going out there, and our coaches and them, they just helped us so much in that way of learning how to simplify it and to just really find a way to enjoy it, you know, and just, yeah, there were so many things, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've loved the tournament. It's been great. And I think what I've really enjoyed is some of the surprises about it. And I think, you know, it's great to see African cricket really booming, and Rwanda, I just thought, were unbelievable. You know, considering that cricket is a relatively new sport to them, they just seem like they're going to be a big team in the future.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch a lot of the games from the other pools, but I did follow Rwanda a lot because there were a few Eastern's coaches or ex-Eastern's coaches that were working with them. So, you know, I had a lot of WhatsApp statuses and those things, and I kept up to date with them. But they just looked like they were having the time of their lives every game, and they looked like they were working so hard. I think there was also a hat-trick from one of the Rwandan bowlers as well. And, yeah, they looked like they just put up such a fight from start to end. It was crazy, yeah.
Yes, you're right, Henriette Nshimwe. In fact, she did one better than a hat-trick. She got 4-4.
Yeah, yes.
Just amazing. I loved watching Rwanda play.
And in terms of kind of your future within cricket, what are your ambitions and goals?
Well, for me, I want to play Proteas. That's my main goal. That's always been my goal. Now I'm starting at a new province. I've moved to Lions, which is exciting. So that's going to kick things off for me now that I've left school. but Proteas is where I want to be. I want to be number 4. I want to bet, and yeah, I want to continue. I want to represent South Africa, you know, long term.
Brilliant. So you just need to knock Laura Woolbart out of the team. That's all. That'll be no problem.
I know the general thing. I don't know the exact. So we've obviously got Proteas, and then we've got National Academy. So I think there's National Academy and Emerging Contracts, and I think that's obviously professional. Then with our provincial setup, we've got 2 leagues. So we've got the bottom league, and then we have the top 6. So top 6 is like your Western Province, Lions, Northwest, all of them. And in each of those provinces, there's 5 contracted players in the top 6 teams. But then the the bottom pool, I think there's 12 teams, but there's no contracts there. So it's just the top 6 teams has 5 contracted players. But I think there's obviously talks about it growing and those things.
Yeah, I mean, that's a similar position to what England were, I suppose, even last year.
Yeah.
And then obviously each year they bring in more contracts. But who is the best player that you've played with when you played for your province?
So I've played in Eastern. I played at Eastern for 4 years. Then there was obviously I was very young in the team, so then there was a lot of older players going in and out and stuff. I think one of the best players that I've played with from Easton's was Carmen Nagel. She was a top order batter, wicketkeeper. She just hit the ball so hard and so far, and she could score runs with ease. Yeah, now I'm playing for Lions. I've moved up there, and I think the best player in that team is probably Kirsty Thompson. She's played Proteas and stuff in the past as well. She's brilliant. Also batting, she's bowling good medium pace now as well. So I'm excited to keep playing with her.
Now, of course, South Africa also hosting the Women's T20 World Cup, which starts very soon. Are you going to see any of the games, and what are your predictions for the tournament?
The problem is it's all the way in Cape Town. It's on the other side of South Africa. we're trying to make a plan for us to go to one of them. South Africa's playing Australia at a stage. So if there's one game that I can get through to go to, I'm going to try and get to that one. Prediction-wise, I want South Africa to win. I want us to be in there. I think a South Africa, Australia, or South Africa, England final would be pretty cool.
To be fair, if South Africa could beat Australia, I would take that because I just don't want Australia to win another World Cup.
It's getting a bit boring, isn't it?
Yeah, we need someone else to win something.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, we look forward to seeing that. So you've got quite a bit of the season to come yet. So do you play for about another couple of months, do you? Because it's winter over here, so I can't get my head around when the season is in South Africa.
Yeah, now usually we would be playing now, obviously, because it's the summer. But because of the Under-19 World Cup and the Women's World Cup, they've moved the season up quite a bit. So we've had I think the last provincial games were end of November. And then the season was the festive break. And then now we should have started January, but because of the World Cups and stuff, it's been moved to March. So then the rest of the provincial season will go on till I think end of April. And then we have our winter break till October. Then it all starts again.
Yeah. And we just get going in April, don't we?
Yeah. It's normally very cold.
Madison, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. We really, really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much for your guys' time. It's been really nice talking to you.
That was brilliant. I still can't quite get over when we talk to people in the different hemisphere and they're sat in the sun.
I know.
And it's so nice and we're freezing cold.
Yeah, but think about it. In 4 months, that's June.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be us. It won't be that hot, but I can't wait.
We can imagine what it'd be like.
I can already picture it.
It's going to be great. You'll be doing your exams.
Oh, wow.
4 months' time, sitting A-levels in the hot sun.
No, in 4 months' time, I will be 7 days away from finishing.
So right in the middle of them then.
Yeah, pretty much. But anyway, we will be back next week with another guest. We'll have loads of World Cup stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wild prediction for something that's going to happen in the first week. Like either an upset, who someone's going to take hat-trick, someone's going to score a century. I want wild ideas.
Mankad.
because I can see it happening. No, I can see it in the final. Or imagine the semi-final. It's the last wicket for it is India, New Zealand.
Oh,
I don't even know if they can play each other in the semi-final. I don't know how, I can't remember the groups. But I can picture it already. Anyway. It could be another team that Mankad's. I'm not just saying India will do it. But as the records show. As I say, we'll be back next week with, in fact, another under-19 guest.
Mm.
One I'm very excited about, and I think a lot of our listeners will quite like. Yeah.
Excellent.
In the meantime, you can follow us on social media. So our Twitter is OOChildPodcast and our Instagram is NaughtyChildPodcast. Mm-hmm.